From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Law of God with another portion of a message dealing with the fourth commandment, Remember the Sabbath Day to Keep It Holy. In emphasizing the obligation we have to obey this commandment, Dr. Cairns has pointed out that the Sabbath is of divine origin, and that it is moral in its constitution. It has not been abrogated by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Further, God gave it for the gracious purpose of providing men with a day of rest, as well as a day devoted to worshiping the Lord. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we'd like you to hear this brief selection from Faith Checkbook, one of the devotional collections written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Rests on a Promise. The text is Genesis 28, verse 13. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. No promise is of private interpretation. It belongs not to one saint, but to all believers. If, my brother, thou canst in faith lie down upon a promise and take thy rest thereon, it is thine. Where Jacob lighted and tarried and rested, there he took possession. Stretching his weary length upon the ground with the stones of that place for his pillows, he little fancied that he was thus entering into ownership of the land. And yet so it was. He saw in his dream that wondrous ladder, which for all true believers unites earth and heaven. And surely where the foot of the ladder stood, he must have a right to the soil, for otherwise he could not reach the divine stairway. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And as he is ours, every promise is ours, if we will but lie down upon it in restful faith. Come, weary one, use thy Lord's words as thy pillows. Lie down in peace. Dream only of him. Jesus is thy ladder of light. See the angels coming and going upon him between thy soul and thy God. And be sure that the promise is thine own God-given portion, and that it will not be robbery for thee to take it to thyself as spoken specially to thee.
Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Sabbath is the Lord, give it was a gift. The Scripture speaks about the Lord giving His Sabbath. He gave it as a divine boon to man. In the Sabbath, the Lord gives man rest and refreshment. We have read in the words of our text the demand for rest. Exodus 23:12 says, 6 days shalt thou do thy work, on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Thine ox, thine ass, thy son, thy handmaid, the stranger, that they all may be refreshed. We have read already in Exodus 31:17 that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh He rested and was refreshed. The word refreshed is actually a lovely word. It's the Hebrew word that really means breath. It may give you the idea of spirit, but it's breath. When it says He was refreshed, it has the idea that we would express in English, He caught His breath. And that's why God has given the Sabbath. It's a gift of blessing. The Lord was careful to insist that man would be able to stop and catch their breath. As they were running through life and they had all the business of life to attend to, that after 6 days of labor maximum, then they would be able to stop and catch their breath. Not only so, He says this is true of the master, but it's equally true of the slave. And this is why the Lord enacted you're not even allowed to light a fire in your homes. And this, of course, was in the wilderness. That is not an absolute prohibition, as we'll see later on. There are times when the Lord does allow a kind of work on the Lord's day. But what the Lord is saying is, He knew human nature. Masters would say, we're keeping the Sabbath, but the slave will light the fire. The slave will go out and plow the field. The slave will go out and reap the vineyard. No, no, says the Lord. You will rest. You will catch your breath. But your manservant and your maidservant, even your very ox and your very ass, they must be allowed to be refreshed. This is my gift. He went even further in due course. And He taught that even the land had to be allowed to rest. And so He instituted a sabbatic year. And 1 year in seven, the land had to rest. So God gives it for rest and refreshment. In the Sabbath, the Lord appoints a day for worship. That's why He calls it My Sabbath. The rest time in the Sabbath was not a time of indolence. It was rest from work. But it was also a time for worship. Leviticus 23 verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. It's a holy convocation. What is a convocation? The word con comes from the Latin word cum, meaning with. Vocation is the Latin verb vocare, to call. It is a convocation. It is a calling together of the people of God. Another word for it would be assembly. It's a holy assembly. It's a holy getting together. It's a holy congregation. It's a holy meeting of the people of God to worship. That's the Sabbath. Leviticus 19:30, He says, ye shall keep My Sabbaths and reverence My sanctuary. I am the Lord. You have an interesting insight into this in the case of the Shunammite woman whose ministry, or whose by the ministry of Elisha, she was blessed with a son. You remember the son took ill and died. She went out immediately to look for Elisha. She didn't tell her husband where she was or why she was going or anything else. And in 2 Kings 4:23, he is quoted as asking, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon, that's the feast day, nor Sabbath. In other words, he's saying, if this were the Sabbath day, I could understand you going to hear the prophet. But this isn't the Sabbath day. So why are you going? The implication is clear that part of the worship of the Sabbath day was to go to hear the Word of God. And we're confirmed in that opinion from Luke 4:16, because the Lord Jesus Christ actually practiced that Sabbath worship. He came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And he read from Isaiah 61. So very clearly then, in the Sabbath day, the Lord appoints a day for worship. Then on the Sabbath day, the Lord testifies his special relationship to his people. At first, the Sabbath was merely a memorial of his creation. Exodus 20. But then, this is why we read Deuteronomy 5. Then, when he redeemed Israel out of Egypt, he gave them the second reason for remembering the Sabbath. It was his redeeming grace. Deuteronomy 5:15, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now let me make sure that you understand what I'm saying here. The Sabbath is gracious in its purpose. The Lord gave it to man for rest and refreshment. The Lord gave it for a day of worship. The Lord gave it to testify his special redeeming relationship with his people. And then, finally, in this point, in the Sabbath, the Lord points us to his perfect work for us, in which we are to rest for life and salvation. What happened? God created and rested. And he said, "You rest in my finished work." Did it ever dawn on you? What was Adam's first day in the world? It was a Sabbath day. Adam's first day in the world was a day of resting in the finished work of his Creator. When we go a little further, you'll see that similarly Christians rest in the finished work of their Redeemer. What does this tell us? It tells us that the Sabbath is a constant sermon on the love of God. Not too many people look at it that way. They're so hardened in their heart and so calloused in their conscience and so carnal in their worldly desires that they can't see the love of God in the day that he has given them. So the Sabbath is gracious in its purpose. But the fourth thing, and this is the big one, the Sabbath is permanent in its duration. Now here's where we really run into the objections. So, I'm going to ask you to think. It's a big thing to ask in most congregations, but I think you can think. So think. Isaiah 66, doesn't matter what your eschatology is, Isaiah 66 stretches to the end of time. In my eschatology, here we're dealing with the great millennial fullness of Christ. In verse 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. One new moon is to another is a reference to the monthly coming to worship. Celebration of every month and the worship of God. But he says from Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath, they're going to come and worship. What does that tell you? It tells you on the authority of the Word of God that the Sabbath observance will exist to the end of time. Even into the millennium itself. Does man not need the Sabbath as much today as ever he did? I hear people complain, it's not very practical in this modern world. The truth is, it never has been very practical for self-seeking and self-serving men. But whatever men think or say, my point is, God has never repealed the Sabbath law. Now, some people are going to debate that, and I'm going to give you what they say. They ask you immediately, did you never read Romans 14? Verses 5 and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord. He that regardeth not to the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. So just whether you want to keep it or not, it's up to you. That's the argument they make. Then they turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and that sounds even stronger, and it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And they ask you quite simply, can you not read? Do you not understand that the Holy Ghost says that the Sabbath is only a shadow of the things to come, and don't let anybody judge you about keeping it? And then they turn to Galatians 4, verses 10 and 11, and it sounds even stronger. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Now here's the argument. They say, Romans 14 is very gentle. It says, just let everybody be persuaded in his own mind. And Colossians 2 says, make sure even if you're persuaded in your own mind, that you don't judge anybody else's liberty, whether they keep the Sabbath or not. But Galatians 4 goes right to the ultimate and says, if you do keep the Sabbath, this is their argument, if you're a Sabbath keeper, then you're scaring me because I think you're going back into Judaism. Now with all that, how can you ever say the Sabbath is a permanent institution that it still endures to this day? Well, very simply, I believe that when you read the Bible, you should first of all have your eyes open. Second, you should have your heart open. There is a very big difference between the Sabbath, singular, and Jewish Sabbaths, plural. Throughout the Old Testament, there were many special Jewish days that were Sabbath days, and they were all ceremonial and typical. And that's what Paul is talking about in every one of these cases. In not one of these cases is Paul talking about the weekly Sabbath. In fact, in Colossians 2, he says, don't let anybody judge you about a holy day, or a new moon, or of Sabbaths, plural. Because those are all shadows. There's no reference at all to the Sabbath day. The Lord has never abrogated that. Indeed, He has retained it and has made the memorial of the resurrection of Christ. This Sabbath is now the memorial, not of creation just, but of the resurrection of Christ. And God has marked that by moving it from day 7 of the week to day 1.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.